In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Our gospel today presents us with a challenge. It begins with allowing ourselves to ask a particular question, a question that I think we need to take seriously. You may have been asking it yourself when you heard the gospel reading, and I want to ask it with you. Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And I think no one, least of all Jesus, would blame us for asking, when is now? When is this now supposed to be? Because if the world in which we live, the world post-crucifixion, post-resurrection, if the world in which we live now is a world in which people of color are seen as less than, and it is, in which women are seen as less than, and it is, in which folks with disabilities are seen as less than, and it is, a world in which mass shootings are numbingly commonplace and hundreds of violent conflicts plague countries and communities around the globe, and it is, in which addiction ruins the lives of our loved ones, and it is, in which refugees are routinely abused, and it is, in which the poor are made to bear the brunt of ecological disaster and economic uncertainty, and it is, in which our LGBTQ friends and family are bullied, victimized, and murdered, even in their safe places, and it is, in a world in which all this and more is clearly the case, and deadly despair runs rampant, when is this now that Jesus is talking about when he says, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out"? Because if Jesus means now the way we generally mean now, he's got some explaining to do. Now, our frustration here may be even more compounded by what Jesus doesn't say, or by what he could have said, what we might have liked for him to have said, but he didn't. He didn't say to his disciples and the gathered crowds, "Things may be bad right now, and you might be feeling glum, but I'll tell you what, in the words of a song that hasn't been written yet, but you're gonna love it when it is, the sun'll come out tomorrow. So don't worry, it's all gonna be okay." Somehow, if Jesus had said that at the close of his public ministry, it would have been slightly more explicable. Not unsuspicious, necessarily, but explicable given the state of things. The accomplishment of Jesus' mission of redemption and healing would have been secured in a future, granted, we could never see, always a day away, always just somewhere over the rainbow, but secure nonetheless in its endless deferral. We could strive for it, reach for it as it continued to recede on the horizon of time, vaguely imaginable, never attainable, always conformable to whatever we needed it to be in order for things to be okay, if not now, eventually. It's sadly telling that somehow the mythic doom of Tantalus reaching for the ripe fruit that always exceeds his grasp feels more comfortable to us as an image of our redemption and restoration than the prospect that indeed now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Because if the judgment were actually tomorrow, not now, least of all, not a now 2,000 years ago, the world would still make a bit more sense. But Jesus never promises okay, however much we might want it. Hence, if we're honest, there's an extra dimension to our challenge this morning, an entrenched ambivalence. Our challenge is that the world by which our gospeler frequently understands the ordered arrangement of our human relationships, our human lives, who we are to each other, what more or less obtains in our day-to-day living and interacting, an ordered arrangement which, moreover, has been so wounded by sin and death that it has come to be ordered and arranged by, to, and for death. Our challenge is that the world makes too much sense to us as it is. We are too familiar with it, too comfortable with it, too enmeshed in it, and the okay for which we might agreeably settle either tomorrow or today is still so far fallen from the world as God ordered and arranged it by, to, and for the Word, the eternal pattern of His love. Nonetheless, imagining the judgment of the world, imagining even an end to the world as we know it, most often occurs to us as a calamitous idea. Something indeed best left to a future that never comes. Because if the world ends, we suspect, we end too. And we're right, it's inescapable, the world is us. But here's the terrible irony. It's for the sake of the world's preservation that when the true and original life of the world came to us in Jesus Christ and dared to love us, we killed him, crucified him, rather than suffer the thought that the world as it is, the world as we remade it in our broken fallenness, our yearned for but wounded okay, we killed him rather than suffer the thought that the world might be transformed or ended. But it is indeed in the cross, in the death of the life of the world, that the world is ended, has ended. The world is already over. Orthodox priest Alexander Schmemann writes, We can go on developing new and better material things. We can build a more humane society, which may even keep us from annihilating each other. One of our goals is certainly to work for peace, justice, freedom. But, he continues, while the world can indeed be improved, it can never become the place God intended it to be. The world condemned itself when on Calvary it condemned the one who was its true self. There is no future for the world as we've known it. And yet, it is Calvary that Jesus names in John as his glory, the hour of his glory, the means by which all people, which is to say the whole world, will be drawn to him. It's for love of the world, for us, a love unmerited and unmercenary, that he shared our humanity, received our death, and lives to share his endless life with us. So, returning to Jesus' words that now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out, we may begin to understand that now is not a when, but a what. That now is a presencing of the already accomplished purposes of eternity unfolding in time, fully available, fully present now. The transfiguring grace of God is not waiting for you to try to take it, only to coyly recede into tomorrow. It's yearning now for you to receive it as gift. There may be no future for the world as we have known it, but the life of the world that emptied himself for love on the cross, that suffered our violence, that bore the brokenness of our world, of you and me and all of us, and died on Calvary to draw all people to himself, that life rose again. In the cross, our desperate times meet God's gracious now. Our sin-sick world meets God's eternal, self-giving, and redeeming love. And a dead world is created there by love, in love, for love. A lost humanity is recovered there by love, in love, for love. And life and joy become finally, truly possible as the okay for which we once would settle, the terrible, darkling shadow of bliss for which we once would settle, fades away as a new day dawns in a new world for us and in us now. The bruised and broken body of Jesus Christ on the cross both reveals and begins to transfigure our broken and bruised humanity. For if we die with him, and dying he destroys our death, we rise with him as rising he restores our life now. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now is the glory without end, because God loves you. Loves you, loves all of us, and has always loved all of us from the very heart of the fullness of eternity. And that is the very substance of the now of which Jesus speaks, not a point in time, past, present, or future, but the glorious reality of love present to all time, available to all time, that fulfills all time. In a few moments, when we celebrate the Eucharist, as the host is lifted above the altar, as the very sacramental body of Jesus Christ is lifted up to draw all people to himself, all the infinite, uncreated light of heaven contained in and blazing out from what looks to be a little piece of bread, we witness the rising, the aurora dawn light glory of the Son of Righteousness heralding the new day, the new world, the new covenant once more, not in a tomorrow that never comes, but now. The redemption of the world, your redemption, is at hand, has always been at hand. Behold, he comes to meet you. Humble and lowly. Here at the foot of the cross, behold, broken for you, he gives himself to you now. Where the judgment of this world is already accomplished, and the prince of this world is already cast out, where that dawnlight splendor can break even from the horizon of your own heart, and shine in you and from you in the midst of this present darkness. The glory of God can be yours, can be you, by grace, if you'll receive it, if you'll live it. Your life can bear the fruit of the unfolding now of God's graceful and loving purposes. Not because everything will be okay at some point, but because the hour has indeed come. And it is now. It is now. And it is you. And it is Jesus Christ. And it is now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.